Blog Talk Radio. Hello, hello, and thank you so much for joining us again on our tonight's episode with Hope Alliance, Inc. and Breaking the Silence. We do so appreciate you joining us on tonight. We've come to you with another episode. Tonight's episode, we're going to talk about stopping the blaming game. You know, how we get, some of you may understand and know or can identify when you've gone through domestic violence and you found yourself in a situation or a place and you begin to look at yourself and say, you know, what did I do? How did I get in this place? How did I get with this person who turned out to be my worst enemy, it seems? And so we just want to kind of talk about and revisit some things that, with concern to that on tonight. And we're going to open first and foremost with a word of prayer. Hallelujah, God. So, Father God, we come on tonight asking, God, that you would fill us up, O Lord God. We come, O Lord God, asking that you would fill the void, fill the empty places, O Lord God. Fill the places that have been ruled by doubt, that have been ruled, O Lord God, with wanderings, O Lord God. Fill those places, O Lord God, and get us to a place, O Lord God, of security in you, O Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. God, I come lifting up my sister or even my brother, O Lord God, who's found themselves in a situation, O Lord God, and it's tumultuous, and they don't even understand how they've gotten here, O Lord God. But we know you to be a way maker, O Lord God. So I pray now, God, that in this episode, during this episode, something will be said, O God, that will lead them to a place of security, that will lead them to a place of peace. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord God, our peace. Lord, we call you now, God, in the name of Jesus, to bring peace to that wandering mind, O Lord God, to take away the shame, O Lord God. Take away the ridicule, O Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God. We lift them up before you now, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God, that you would show yourself strong on their behalf, O Lord God. The question that they've been asking, God, how did you lead me in this place? Why did you allow me to be here where I am right now, God? We pray now, God, that we would give an answer, O Lord God, and that they'll understand, O Lord God, what's really going on. Father, open their eyes that they will see, O Lord God. Open their ears and attune them, O Lord God, to your word, O God, on tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. God, we love you. God, we bless you, God, and we seek you out even now. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray, and we count this prayer as done by faith. It is so, and so it is in Jesus' name. Amen, and amen, and amen. Again, thank you again so much for joining us. We want to first and foremost just look at a couple of things, and I already shared even during my testimony of how I had written a letter, and the letter had to do with me feeling like my children were ashamed of me feeling like I had let my children down. I was blaming myself at all ends and things of that nature, and I just had to come to the conclusion and come to the realization, rather, that it wasn't me. We've talked about and gone over some of the instances of what domestic violence is, and we understand that domestic violence has to do with blame, has to do with not just blame, I'm sorry, but domestic violence has to do with control. It has to do with control. It has to do with power. So blaming yourself is not the answer. When you've been in an emotional or abusive relationship, opening yourself up to love again, it might be something that you will find difficult. It might be something that, you know, you'll say to yourself, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't feel like this is the same thing. Or you may be fearful about stepping into anything because you don't want to fall back into that pattern if you've walked away from the things. And so you really, really are looking at how to break free. How do I get past, you know, blaming myself? How do I get past feeling like I did something wrong? How do I get past calling myself names? You know, we get to a position and a place where, you know, we've been in a toxic relationship and that we've been called all kind of names, and we start to come into agreement with the negativity. I don't want you to do that anymore. I want you to say what the word of God says that you are. And God's word said that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that when he made you, he made a marvelous work. The Bible says to let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus. I want you to come to the understanding and to begin to know that you have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. So when we start talking about looking at some things, I wanted to share with you on tonight And I want to look at the analogy of David and Saul. David and Saul. David and Saul in 1 Samuel, the 20th chapter, the first verse. And then if we look at also 1 Samuel, the 26th chapter, the 18th verse, David is bewildered. We know the story about how David would go and he would play music for Saul and try to calm down that mean spirit, would try to calm down that raging, that spirit of rage and things of that nature, and it got to a point where it wasn't happening. It got to a point where it wasn't helping. And so we find that Saul eventually turned on David and began to try to kill David. He began to be abusive to David, if you will. And so we find in these particular chapters where David is bewildered and he doesn't understand what he could have done to cause Saul to want to harm him. Have you ever felt this way about your abusive situation? Have you ever felt, how is it that a man or in some instances, how is it that a woman can say they love you and then turn around and hurt you? It's baffling. It's baffling. How a person could love you so hard and love you so much. I've often talked about that Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde kind of demeanor, whereas when they love you hard. They love you and you're so appreciative, but it can be in the batting of an eye where that same person who loves you begins to tighten their grip around your neck, or that same person who loves you begins to call you all kind of names and things that your worst enemy wouldn't call you. And so if you're wondering, how is this happening? What's usually happening? Usually the victim comes to believe that she did something or he did something to cause the abuse. We start like racing in our minds, and trying to figure out, what did I say? What did I say? What did I not do? We start going through our own checklist of trying to figure out, what can I do? And then not only that, but what can I do to remedy it? How can I make it right? How can I keep him from tipping over until exploding? What can I do to keep him from exploding? What can I do to keep him from hurting me? We oftentimes do this, and this happens in part because the abuser usually tells the victim that it's their fault. They usually tell the victim that it's their fault, and we tend to believe it because, again, we can't understand how a person who can love us so much can turn on us so quickly. But if he or she just did something differently, there wouldn't be the abuse. That's what we're told. That's what we're made to think. Or if she or he had a different personality, the abuse would stop. We go through and we wreck our minds trying to figure out and we blame ourselves. Well, I come to tell you that it's time to stop blaming yourself. It's time to stop rehashing it. Amen. It's time to stop rehashing it, and we need to put the blame where the blame really is. Amen. That this person has come to a decision that they want to give in to their own control, and they want to give in to their having the power. And so we need to begin to look at that. Now, in the story of Saul and David, we can see that David did not do anything to provoke Saul. In fact, he repeatedly attempted to soothe, appease, use reason, bargain in order to stop the violence. And how many of us, or how many of you who may even still be in a domestic violence situation, how many times have you tried to do exactly what they said do? You know, you were very meticulous about following their instructions so that, they would be happy. You wanted to please them. You wanted to make them, because you love them. Because you love them. And so you go through all of this trying to appease them, trying to use reason, trying to bargain with them. You go out, you change your wardrobe, you change your hair, you change it, everything, trying to appease the person, and none of your efforts work. Many victims of domestic violence find themselves in the same situation. They may spend years trying one thing after another to avoid the abuse and to please the abuser with little success. It's easy for such relationships to progress into the situation in which one person becomes a tyrant and the other experiences fearfulness, confusion, and low self-worth. And we don't want to get to that. We need to understand who we are and who God has created us to be. And our prayer for the abuser is that they'll come to realize that they are seeking out something as far as control that may link back to a situation or circumstance that from a childhood even, that causes them to seek out their power, that causes them to seek out their control, and that they need help. That the bottom line is that a person who is abusive needs help. Nothing you can do. You can go and find can I just be blunt? You can go and find the sexiest gown you can find. It's not going to appease the situation. They need help. They need assistance. So the issue becomes clearer when one realizes that domestic violence is not as much about what the victim does or doesn't do as it is about the abuser's desire to maintain, again, power and control over the other person. Domestic violence is a pattern of coerciveness. It's intimidating or assault behavior aimed at controlling the victim through fear of harm, of loss, humiliation, belittling, criticism, threats, abusive control, and isolation, rage, withholding physical or psychological assault on the person, or just calling names and just being mean. While abuse may occur in any relationship, domestic violence is based on the systematic and repeated pattern of such behaviors with the intent of diminishing the victim and maintaining control over him or her. Meeting an abuser's demand usually does little to improve the situation because the abuser relies on the abuse to maintain power and control. When one demands or conditions is met, more may appear. The victim may come to feel a sense of, you know, just being futile and hopeless about the situation, as well as feeling inadequate, unworthy, or just defective. Like, what's wrong with me? Why can't I please this person? Why can't I satisfy this person? And we have to understand, we have to get it in our brain that it is about power and control. Nothing else you're going to do is satisfy. You know, it's about power and control. When the facts about domestic violence are not understood, myths develop. These myths can lead to blaming victims for the abuse. It is important to understand that domestic violence is not a communication problem or a conflict of differing temperaments. Couples with these problems don't necessarily resort to abuse. Counselors teaching couples communication frequently find that this does not stop the abuse. You know, so learning how to talk to a person, learning the right things to say, things of that nature. Domestic violence can occur where good communication techniques are being applied. Some abusers would try to use them as just another tool for controlling their victims. You know, talking that smooth talk, a person who knows how to talk around a situation, or my mother would call them a fast talker. You know, before you can even get your thoughts together, they've moved on to something, you know, and you kind of like, okay, trying to figure out how to answer the person. We need to understand that it's not an anger problem. Episodes of domestic violence can occur when the abuser is calm. Anger management training frequently fails to end the abuse. One of the things that I teach in our young people when we start talking about misdirected anger is that the Bible talks about that anger is an emotion. It's an emotion that God has given us. When anger is turns into rage, when anger turns into rage, then it's a problem. When a person does not know how to handle their anger, and then their anger grows into something else. It morphs into something else, if you will. And that's not anger. Amen. That's become rage. And we need to differentiate between the two. And so after, you know, we're sending people now to anger management classes, teaching them how to direct anger and how to deal with anger, when in essence, the problem is really that power and that control. It's not due to stress. Many episodes of abuse occur when the abuser is not stressed, and many people do not become violent when they're stressed. It's not caused by alcohol or drugs. These may reduce or induce the abuser's demeanor. It may provide him or her with an excuse for battering. Drugs and alcohol in themselves do not cause domestic violence. Stopping the use of drugs and alcohol may not stop the abuse. And so you're dealing with an addictive behavior, but you're still not dealing with the core of the problem of the abuse, okay? So it's not caused by a lack of submission on the part of the victim. Attempts to appease, cooperate, being obedient, offer no resistance, rarely stop the abuse. It's not caused by the victim's behavior. Studies indicate that that there is often little the victim can do to stop the abuse. Frequently, the abuser continues to abuse in a subsequent relationship. Domestic violence comes from within the batterer. Instead of choosing to respond to the situation in other possible ways, the abuser chooses to use abuse. David discovered a victim is usually unable to stop the abuse by seeking to please the abuser or trying to meet his demands. And so we have to begin to understand what domestic violence is and what domestic violence is not. You know, some people will say, if he could just stop drinking, he'll be all right. And then you find out that he had an episode while he was very sober. I've seen that happened in an instance where, you know, the batterers find something as minuscule as, again, macaroni and cheese can set them off, or somebody ate their leftovers, and they haven't had anything to drink. But that was an opportunity for them to exert power and control, and they took that opportunity. So we have to begin to look at that. Now, the other thing from the spiritual aspect of it is that David knew how to pull back. David knew how to get himself free of it. He understood the anointing that was on King Saul's life, and he retreated to other areas, you know, until he could. And I've often told women to pray away. Those who are saved, they love God. You know, this is me. And I want to just release an indemnity clause right here. This is me and what I felt was necessary for me. And others may or may not agree with this particular tactic. But as a woman who loves God, my source is pray away. You know, our desire is not for the family to dissolve. It's not for you to, you know, just seek out a divorce or things of that nature. But sometimes the Bible talks about, you know, separating for a while. Sometimes there are instances, in my opinion, where you need to just kind of pull back from the situation and go into prayer and encourage that person to get the help that they need, you know, to get the help that they need, to go to get counseling, to seek out the being counseled by the pastor, to seek out somebody who can hold them accountable for their actions. And so as we begin to look at that, we need to begin to understand. Now, some of the things that you may need to do, you know, in sitting back and in questioning some things, what are some of the other reasons that you've heard people use and explain the cause of domestic violence? There are many uses, many things that people have said that cause, you know, if I could have just did this, you know, if I could, you know, if I could just stop making him angry, if I could just learn how to cook that meal the way he wants, if I wouldn't have burn. We need to stop making excuses. Stop making excuses for the batterer's behavior and understand again that it's not anything that you yourself can do. It's going to take God and the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. It's going to take God and the Holy Spirit to get them to a point of deliverance. Amen. To get them to a point of, first of all, accepting responsibility for their own actions. Accept responsibility for their own actions and then get what they need so that they're better, they can become that better husband, they can become that better father. Amen. But they have to first accept responsibility. So we hear a lot of reasons that people have said to try to explain away domestic violence or, you know, and taking a responsibility on themselves as the victim or the victor, if you will. Amen. So we have to begin to look at that. The abusers may have tried to convince you that you caused the abuse. Don't believe the lie. Don't get pulled into the lie. It's not you. It's not you. It's them. And it's their not accepting responsibility for their own actions. And so, again, encouraging them to get help. Encouraging them, you know, to get help. And if they have loved ones, if they have mother, father, or someone who can talk to them and intervene. I know of for me, it was my brother-in-law. He was the one who was able to kind of come and defuse the situation, you know. But he never, or to my understanding, or to my knowledge, I guess would be a better way of putting it, encouraged him to get the help that he needed. But he could come and defuse the situation. So the abuser may try to convince you that it's your fault. Look into family to try to encourage that person to get the help that they need. That's so very important. If you're a person and you're a relative of the abuser, it is imperative that you not feed into their what they're doing. Don't feed into that. Be truthful with them. Let them know that they need help. Don't say, yeah, you're right, she could do this better, or yeah, you're right, he could do that better. That's not what it's about. It's about you getting the help that you need because you are the one that's causing the bodily harm. Okay? So this is what we can do as family members. This is what we can do as family members, you know, to that person that's a batterer. We need to be honest with them, and we need to tell them to stop making excuses on that other person. You know, it's amazing to me, you know, how many times that revolving door has come where that batterer has all of these wonderful people coming in and out of his or her life, and we still blaming them as opposed to telling him, no, it's time for you to sit down and look at you. It's time to sit down. Everybody can't be wrong. Everybody else cannot be at fault. You know, you're the only one who's remaining in these scenarios. So what's sending the other ones packing? What's sending them running? I think that as family members, we do a disjustice to a batterer when we're not open and honest with them, when we're not praying with them and saying, you know, you need some help. Let's get you the help that you need. Let's pray. Let's begin to ask God to intervene, to do some things. Amen. And so let's, as family members, especially those of you who may be a family member to somebody that's a batterer, it's time to be honest with them. It's time to stop making excuses for them and let them know they need help. Mainly let them know that God can do anything, that there's nothing that's too hard from God. And if they will seek out the help that they need in addition to counseling, they can become the person that they desire to be. I believe in my heart of hearts that a lot of batterers don't like themselves, and that after the situation, they don't like who they become, but they're finding it hard to adjust. They're finding it hard. They don't know what direction to go to get that medium that they need, to bring about that calm that they need. There is an answer, and there is hope. Amen. There is an answer, and there is hope. So we need to understand that nothing we can do is going to comply to the abuser's demand. And we need to understand some things that will succeed in ending the abuse. We need to understand what is it going to take to bring about that peace of mind that you need. First and foremost, I'm speaking to somebody, stop blaming yourself. Stop letting others blame your kids. Don't blame the dog. Don't put the blame where the blame is. Amen. Put the blame where the blame should fall. Okay? And so that's what we want to begin to look at when we start talking about finding the answer to abuse, when we start talking about looking at what's needed for abuse. So the Bible definitely talks about abuse. It talks about how in Hebrews 3:13, it talks about how God does not like an angry man. I'm sorry, let me just get my Bible and turn to it again, because this is not of God. This is not what God would have us to do. And I know that the old adage was that, you know, wives, be submissive to your husband. And you know, but the verse prior to that talks about husband loves your wives as Christ loved the church. Or even a wife who's submissive, she's more submissive to a husband who knows how to love her like Christ loved the church. Can I put it like that? And so that's what we need to begin to look at, and that's what we need to begin to see in the healing process of marriages and in the healing process of God doing what he needs to do. And, you know, my thing first and foremost, if that's not your husband, if that is not your husband and he's being abusive to you, it's time to walk away. If that's not your husband, but that's your baby's daddy, you know what I'm saying, it's still time to walk away. To walk away from it in the form of, you know what, you need help. And until you can get the help that you need, this is not going to work. So in Hebrews again 3:13. Hallelujah, Jesus. My God. Not the scripture that I'm looking for. Give me a minute. And so, again, as we begin to look at these things that God will have us to do, we need to begin to understand that God does not desire for us to be in a domestic violence situation. He does not desire for the husband to be out of control, to be hitting, to be abusive, you know, in the Word of God. And so we just wanted to begin to share that with you. Begin to share that with you so that we'll know what it is that God deems as a marriage and for the marriage to just be a marriage that walks in peace. Amen. God says he desires that we live peaceably among all men, you know, and that's just, you know, stating it out of just a normal relationship or just, you know, a cordial relationship, if you will. And so we have to begin to understand that God expects even the more from us when we start talking about being in a marriage. And so that's the thing that we want to begin to look at, okay? Now, the other thing that once you've stopped blaming yourself and you've pulled away from it, you really want to be God to begin to do some things in your relationship, in your marriage, For the single one, I have to adjure you and say to you that it's imperative that you pull back from that thing and that you learn to get in a position and to a place of knowing God. Get in a place of getting in the presence of God and just let the Holy Spirit really, really love on you to help you begin to heal from your wounds, to help you begin to heal from those hurts, amen, to help you to begin to heal and get you to a place whereas you're confident in who God is and who God is in you. It's so very, very important. So as a single, to the singles, I just want to begin to say that it's imperative that you pull back. Don't be so quick to jump into another relationship. Don't be so quick to jump into another relationship. Take time to sit back and heal. Get in the presence of God. You know, develop an intimate relationship with Abba Father. Begin to allow Abba Father to heal you. Begin to allow Abba Father, get to know him in an intimate way. Don't, you know, I in today's society, we just feel like if we buy ourselves, we weird. We feel like if we buy ourselves, it's something wrong with us. You know, we start questioning, am I pretty enough? Am I figure good enough? Am I this? Am I that? Stop it. Take time. Sit down and get in the presence of God. Begin to look at, you know, assess your situation. You know what I'm saying? Because you don't want to repeat the same thing. You don't want to be pulled as singles. You don't want to be pulled back into that same type of person, that same type of man. So this is a time, I think, that when you've gotten out of that a relationship, it's time for you to really begin to sit down and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. and to begin to just show you some things about you, show you what it is that he would have. You know what I'm saying? One of the things that I like about in looking, talking about dating is don't always make yourself accessible to people. You know what I'm saying? Do some things. I can't come tonight. I'm washing my hair. You know, and see what that person's demeanor is going to turn into when they're rejected. Huh? What is it going to look like if you tell them no? Are they going to become enraged? You know what I'm saying? And then if so, that's a red flag. It's a red flag. And let's be cognizant of the red flags, okay? So that's what we want to do or say to you, for those of you who are single. Those of you who are single, we definitely want to say that to you, that you would learn to seek out God, that you will learn to be in the presence of God, that you will learn not to rush into situations and marriage. And for those of you who are married and you're pulling away from it, we definitely, you know, want to be going to counseling, talking to somebody, get a trusted friend, you know what I'm saying, to hold you accountable to some things as a wife so that you're not, you know, falling back into the same situation, or you're not going back into that situation prematurely. Amen. Prematurely. I can remember it, and I don't mind sharing. It seemed like each time that I would separate from my husband due to domestic violence, if I went into it prematurely or went back prematurely, the next time it seemed like it was always longer and longer. The time span looked like it was always a longer time span than before. So my advice to you is to be still and allow God to complete the process. Amen. Sometimes we try to do it too fast, and we go into it prematurely, and it's not time. They haven't even met the criteria that you had set, you know, that you need to get some help. It's going to take more than one visit. Amen. And what I'm finding out is that, you know, even in deliverance, there still needs to be some follow-up. You know, so if you took him to John Eckhart's church and you saw him get delivered, that is wonderful. Praise God for it. But can we get some follow-up? Can we get some follow-up? Amen. So that's imperative, too. It's imperative, too. So you want to get to a place where you understand it, and get with somebody, you know, who's helping you in your waiting process, wives, helping you in your waiting process for God to please. Get to with a woman of wisdom, a woman of mature wisdom, a godly, let me just say this, a godly woman. Everybody that's old ain't wise. Can I help you? Everybody that's old is not wise. Amen. And so you want to get with a mature woman of wisdom who can pour into you and help you in that waiting process as God completes the healing, as God completes what he needs to do in both of you. In both of you, amen. And so you want to look for somebody who will be able to give you wise advice. If a wise person takes a fool to court, there will be ranting and ridicule, but not satisfaction. So it is imperative that we not just, you know, do things out of rush and out of hurry, but that we look to get wise counsel. Never pay back evil to anyone. Do things in such a way that everyone can see that you are honorable. Do not part to live. Do your part to live in peace with everyone as much as possible. Dear friends, never avenge yourselves. Leave that to God, for it is written, I will take vengeance. I will repay those who deserve it, says the Lord. And that's Romans 12:17-21. So you definitely want to be around somebody. You don't want to be around somebody who's telling you to repay evil for evil. You don't want to be around your young friends, you know, who's talking about I'll do this and I'll do that and I wouldn't take that and my apologies. You don't want to do that. All right, you want to be around a person of God who's going to say, let's search the scripture, because in the scripture there is an answer. In the scripture, God can do it. Okay, so you want to have the same mentality, the same attribute as David, in that he was able to separate himself from the abuse. But even in separating himself from the abuse, he never separated himself from God. He always sought God. He always sought the guidance and the leading of God. And so that's what you want to do. Again, you don't want to blame yourself. Amen. You don't want to blame yourself. You want to look at it as what it really and truly is. And if you find yourself in a situation where you need to separate from it, you need to get out of that volatile situation. You don't want to get out of that volatile situation saying, you know, I need to divorce or I need to do this. You want to be still and hear from God. You want to be still and hear from God. Amen. And you want to be to the leading of God. Again, you don't want to move so quickly and jump back into that thing prematurely. Please hear me what I'm saying. You don't want to jump back into that thing prematurely, but you want to be in a position and a place of prayer. You want to be in a position and a place of prayer to hear from God. And then you want to be praying for him. One of the books that I would adjure you to get and to begin to stand in the gap for your husband, because my thing is pray away. Pray away from the volatile situation. Pray away, amen, from the rage. So you want to get in a position where you feel safe, where you're safe, and you want to get in a position where you're in prayer. And Stormy or Martin, The Power of the Praying Wife, The Power of the Praying Wife, awesome book, and I would just adjure you to begin to get that book and saturate yourself and begin to allow God to do what he needs to do. Another book that would be good for those who are male, you know, is Maximize Manhood. And I'm trying to remember who the author was, but that was a phenomenal book. It's an old book, but it's still useful for today, and it's called Maximize Manhood, if you want to go and look that up. Okay, so these are just some of the resources that I think that you need to turn to in your state of allowing God to do what he needs to do and to complete what he needs to complete in the two of you. Amen. And so you want to stop. Again, stop blaming yourself. Stop blaming yourself. The Bible talks about we understand and we know that the enemy's job is to steal, kill, and destroy. And if we want to look at it from that spiritual aspect, it is the enemy. The Bible says that we war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of wickedness in high places. And so we've got to begin to learn how to pray, how to warfare on their behalf. Amen. How to stand in the gap for them. Amen. And so we want to begin to understand. We want to begin to look at those things and just begin to pray and allow God to do what he can do. You can win. This situation can be won. And my mindset is never that people can't change, but my mindset is that they can be renewed. Amen. People can be renewed. Old things can be passed away, and behold, all things can become new. Amen. And so I don't want you to give up. I don't want you to feel like, you know, this thing here is never ending. This thing is never going to change. God can do the exceedingly and the abundantly when we allow him to do it. And so we want to understand that. We don't want to get to a place where we're looking at him as the enemy. We don't want to get to a place where we're feeling like our abuser is the devil himself. No, he's being pawned. He's being used as a pawn. But I promise you that God says that we have power over the enemy. We have power to pull down strongholds of the enemy, and so we can stand in the gap. I need for us to begin to stand in the gap. Amen. And so that's what I want us to look at on tonight. I just wanted us to really, really get to a point where we stop blaming, where we don't start questioning ourselves. Again, the scripture that we used on tonight came from 1 Samuel, the 20th chapter, the first verse, and then you can look at the 26th chapter and the 18th verse. Of course, you want to read all of that that's in between there, because it just talks about David and what David had to go through and this abuse that he was going through with King Saul, how he handled it, how he pulled back, how he allowed God to do what God needed to do. And so when we understand that, that we're not to blame when we understand that domestic violence has solely to do with power and control. It's about power and control. When we understand that, you know, you can't go and learn how to communicate any better than you were, amen. You cannot dress differently. Your hairstyle is not going to change it. The way you cook is not going to change it, because domestic violence has nothing to do with that. Domestic violence has to do with power and control, and that the person really, really needs to get some help. You have to understand they have to get help. They need counseling. They need somebody, intervention. They need all of that. Amen. Those of you, again, who are family members to a batterer, it is imperative that you let them know to stop blaming the person. Stop blaming the person who you're being abusive to. As a mother, as a sister, as a brother, whomever you are, whatever your relation, as a friend, it is imperative that you be honest with them and let them know that this is not about them. This is about you. Let them know we've been seeing you do this. This behavior is repetitive, and it's time for it to stop. Man, you need to get some help. Or woman, you need to get some help. What I've come to understand about a batterer is that it's not sexist. It's not just the men that are batterers, even though most times it is a man. But there are women who have abusive behavior as well. Amen. And so whomever you are, if you're finding yourself in that predicament, I just adjure you to get help. Family members, I adjure you to suggest to them that it's time for them to get help. It's time for them to seek out help and get the help that they need. I need for you to understand you can't be submissive enough if you're the person who's going through the abuse. You can't be submissive enough for them. All right, so those are some of the things that we've already gone over, but I just wanted to reiterate a couple of things before you so that you would begin to understand the facts about domestic violence, and that you will begin to understand, and that we will begin to come against the myths that's been associated with domestic violence, come against the myth that, you know, the man has to be this person who usurps authority and it's all out of control. Domestic violence is not authority. If you're being violent, you're not being a person of authority, not godly authority anyway. That's not what God would have you to do. Amen. And so I just adjure you on tonight to look to get the help that you need. On next week, we're going to begin to talk about trusting yourself after an abusive relationship. Begin to trust you. Begin to learn how to stop blaming yourself, because we're stopping the blaming game on tonight. And then next week, we're going to talk about how to begin to trust yourself again, how to begin to be free, not to be jumpy and things of that nature. Amen. Amen. I do so appreciate you joining us on tonight for this particular episode of Breaking the Silence. And we do, again, want to answer the cry of those who are in a domestic violence relationship. We would like, again, for you to look at our website. We do have a website, HOPEPAlliance.com. You can check out our website, and you can reach out to us if need be. Give somebody the information so that they can call us and we can assist them. Listen, if we don't have the assistance that you need, we do not have a problem in referring you to somebody else who can assist you. This is about you getting help. This is about you getting whole. Amen. This is about you. And so that's what we want to do here at Hope Alliance, Inc. We want to be a blessing to you and assist you. And we want to do it in a way in which God will be pleased. Amen. That's what we're looking to do. So, again, reach out to us. Reach out to us. Reach out to us on our website. Or you can reach out to us on our Facebook account. Of course, it's Hope Alliance, Inc. on Facebook. You can reach out to us. Or you can reach out to me individually, Katie Pierce, Apostle Designee, Katie Pierce. I am on Facebook. You can reach out to us. And whatever we can do in your endeavor to help you, whatever we can do to assist you, we are here to assist and we are here to help. And so we would love it if you would reach out to us and let us assist you to get into your wholeness. Let us assist you in getting past your pain. Amen. That's what we like to do here at Hope Alliance. We want to be that support system that you need. We would like to be that support system that you need to carry you through and to get you through these particular situations and circumstances. Making ourselves available to you is what we desire to do here at Hope Alliance, Inc. So we're looking for you to reach out to us, and we are waiting to assist you in whatever way we can. Or, you know, if you need to give somebody the information about Hope Alliance, perhaps somebody you know is going through domestic violence and you've just been trying to figure out, how can I assist them? What do I need to do to help them through their situation or to get them to a place of a holistic process? We're here to help. So reach out to us. Reach out to us. That's what we desire and endeavor to do. But know that there is hope. Know that there is hope. Know that there is hope. And know that we are here for you. Again, thank you so much for joining us on tonight. We look forward to your coming back on next week as we talk about trusting ourselves again and get into a place of feeling, like we can trust, like we're ready to move forward, like we're ready to move forward. And that's what we want to talk about on next week. We want to learn how to trust ourselves again, learn how to trust ourselves again, because we're stopping the blame. Today was the end of the blame game. We're not blaming it. We're putting the blame where it should be, and the blame is on the enemy. The scripture says we war not against flesh and blood, but we war against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of wickedness in high places. So we understand that the enemy is behind all of this horrific things that are going on in our world, in our society. He is the one who is behind it, and so it is time for us to understand and come against the adversary, come against the enemy, and take a stand, take a stand, take a stand. Amen. Again, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to close in prayer. Hallelujah. We're going to close in prayer. Yay, God. Hallelujah, God. Father God, we come on tonight, God, just praying that you are pleased, oh Lord God. We thank you, oh God, that your word says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who's given to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given them, oh God. We pray now, oh Lord God, for the listening audience, God, for that person that's listening, God, and they need wisdom. They don't know what direction to go in. They don't know who to turn to. They don't know who to trust, oh Lord God. But God, your word says to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. God, we thank you now, God, for directing the path of those who are listening, God. We thank you now in the name of Jesus Christ, God. Show them what direction they need to go in, oh Lord God. Give them the courage to pick up that phone. Give them the courage to send an email, oh Lord God. Give them the courage, oh God, to go to that website, oh Lord God. Give them what they need on today, oh Lord God, to start anew, to start afresh, oh Lord God. We come against the enemy, oh Lord God, that would try to tell them that they're to blame, oh Lord God. We come against the lies, oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. We call on the Lord God, El Emet, even now, the God of truth, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ. We command every lie to be rolled back, God, and that truth would come forth, God, and that it would take a stand on solid foundation, God. Stand in the person, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, oh Lord God. We pray now, God, that if there are any children, oh God, who are being exposed, Father, to domestic violence, oh Lord God, we pray now, God, that there will be a covering even now in the name of Jesus Christ, oh Lord God. Guard their ears, oh Father, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh Lord God. We look to you, Father, the author and the finisher of our faith, oh Lord God. He who has begun a good work, oh God, finish it till the day of redemption, oh Lord God. So we thank you, God. We thank you for this listening audience, oh Lord God. We thank you now, oh Lord God. We pray now, God, in the name of Jesus, that this episode will fall where it needs to fall. We pray now, God, that this episode, that it'll be opened up by those who need it, oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. God, we thank you and we love you and we bless you the more, oh God, in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. We pray that you would just just have your way in us. Have your way through us, oh, Lord God. We pray now, God, that your angelic force would be with them, oh, Lord God, that it will guard them, oh, Lord God. We call now the angelic force of protection to protect, to guard, to watch, oh, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, oh, Lord God. We pray now, oh, Lord God, for neighbors who've been listening, oh, Lord God, to the noises, who've been listening to the arguing, oh, Lord God. We pray now, God, that somebody will pick up a phone, make a phone call, oh, God. Get involved, oh, God, and know that silence is not golden when it comes to domestic violence. God, give a voice, oh, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, God, so we love you, Father. And we bless you, oh, God. And now unto him who is able. Hariyacha. Thank you, God. And now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the coming of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be both power, dominion, now and forever. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and we count this prayer as done by faith. It is so, and so it is in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Let me just give you my phone number if you need to make a call. My phone number is area code 708-574-2533. You can reach out to me by phone at 708-574-2533. We are listening and we are waiting and attentive to your call. We will be attentive to your call. So thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you. And until next week, may God's greatest and may God's best be yours. Good night, everyone.